Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you. Have you ever loved somebody?
Have you ever loved somebody?
Loved ones because of the alcoholic beverages taking over us
And once it's taken over us, we start saying things that we really mean but won't say. We start doing all types of things that we know we're not supposed to do because we're under the influence. Most times you get put over by the police, they say, you're under the influence. Now, this influence is not good. This influence makes us do things that in a sober mind, we would not do. Think about that, Brother Anthony.
I feel you on this. Exactly where you're coming from. I feel like, you know, certain things, some people just shouldn't drink. And I feel like nowadays, certain people know their limits. And, you know, sometimes they're not wise enough to know when to stop or how many they can have. But it's a thing where you should know that if you do indulge in it, that some things can happen afterwards that will make you not be so wise, that can lead to certain things like you fighting and saying certain things that you wouldn't say, like you said, if you were sober, because, you know, it's that liquid courage that everybody has, that everybody can get, and also they call it the truth serum. So, you know, once they get that in there, you start hearing what's on their mind, what the truth is. So it's like sometimes it's not good to indulge in those things.
And it says that in the scripture that beer is a brawler. So I've met a whole lot of people that once they get a little, what you say, Anthony, a little liquor courage up in them, they ready to fight with the best of them, get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they the influence has taken over them. And when it leads you astray, when it calls you to do these things, you're not wise. Is there any other men on the line that can chime in on this situation?
Yeah, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Definitely, I agree with what you've been saying to this point. Some people, I think, you know, that's why the Bible, when it says it's not wise, because some people make the decision just so they can get the heart to say some stuff that's on their mind. But like you were saying, that wisdom says, you know, there's a reason why certain things haven't been said, because when you exercise wisdom, you understand that the words that we say have the power of life and death in the tongue. And so, therefore, when you understand that the tongue is mighty, there are certain things that though you may feel them, though you may think them, you wouldn't say, because once said, you can never take them back, and the damage that they cause is irreversible.
Amen. Any other men on the line?
You got a 0225 number? Do you guys like to say anything on that line?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, sir.
You guys are saying. I definitely agree with everybody's assessment of the word. You know, everybody knows by now alcohol, you support judgment. And even a little bit of alcohol, you know, a lot of times you don't have to be overindulged in alcohol to experience poor judgment. That's why, you know, a lot of times in the law, under influence doesn't mean that you have to even be drunk or what seems to be drunk by most people. So I think that it is, you know, nowadays, like Anthony said earlier, you know, a lot of people don't know their limits. A lot of people don't know their body. A lot of people don't know, you know, what they can or cannot handle. And it's all right to enjoy yourself, but you know, everybody does need to know what they can handle, what they can't handle, you know, what they should be able to say, because alcohol does make you say things that you may want to say also, but it just comes out in a way that alcohol doesn't allow you to think. You speak before you think, and that's what a lot of alcohol does. It makes you speak before you think. A lot of times, if you haven't said it before, a lot of times there's a reason why you haven't even said it before. Because it may not be that perfect time. It may not be that perfect situation to say that or the perfect way to say it. Sometimes you got to think of how you're going to say things and disseminate things. So I agree with all you guys.
Amen. I thank everybody for their opinion. These things that everybody is saying, that they're very true. And the key word is under an influence. So it's not you. God is telling us that the wise person won't let it take them astray. The wise person will say, okay, yeah, let me just take this, let me just do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that, but let me overdo it because I know myself. So we're going to go on to this next verse. In verse 2, it says, the king's wrath strikes terror like the roar of a lion. Those who anger him forfeit their lives. And I really think that this scripture is speaking about God's wrath upon the ones that continuously just don't care, the ones that do God's people wrong, the ones that take advantage of God's people. I believe that this is what the scripture is talking about, and the scripture is saying that the wrath strikes terror like a roar of a lion. I've never really, you know, been in front of no lion before, but I know that, you know, if a lion roared in front of me, I'd probably pass out or something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is how the wrath of God is going to be. It's going to strike terror as if a lion is roaring. And what it says is that those who anger him forfeit their lives. Those who try to come up against God, God is all. He's everything. He's all. Yeah. He's everything. So being that he's everything, if you try to come up against God and you're not coming correct, you got something coming for you. The Bible tells us that you forfeit your life. So in all that we do, we have to get in line with God, and don't worry about the people that's doing us wrong. Don't worry about the people that's stabbing us in the back. Don't worry about the people that have no good intentions for us, because the Bible tells us that the wrath of God, the wrath of the king, it strikes like terror of a lion roaring. So we're not going to worry about what this person has to say to us or what this person did to us, because we know at the end, when God unleashes his wrath, that whoever angers him shall forfeit their lives. What you think about that, Brother Adam?
I feel like in certain situations that we are in, that sometimes we just need to come correct with God, because he already knows what's going on. And it's like what it says, when you try him, that you're going to get his wrath regardless. And it's funny how, like, certain things you try to hide, but you can't hide them from God, because he already knows. It's like when you're younger, you try to hide stuff from your parents. They already know what's going on. So it's like in the end that when you do try God, or when you do try his wrath, when you try and get something past him, at the end of the day, you are risking your life. And you can't get mad at it, because he is God, and he's all-knowing, like you said. He's all-powerful. So at the end of the day, just don't try
him. Hey, man, can I get any other men to chime in on the situation?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, when we talk about it forfeits our lives, like one day we all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, this, you know, the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, preparation for life, words of wisdom. And it's like, who wants to wait until that moment where we are before the judgment seat of Christ, where perhaps it's too late? And now we have that fear in our heart. You know, we have time while there's still breath in our body to do what we need to do, so that when we get in front of the King of Kings, we won't be terrified.
Amen. 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 Any more men that can chime in on this situation?
I like the verse, and it says, I look at it as this also, like if you read it, it says, like the world of a liar. So I look at it as also like there's certain sounds in the world that everybody can distinguish without even seeing it, and that's just one of the ones that I think that, to me, it's also telling me that I don't have to see the lion. Like, God is already telling you, like you're going to hear me first before I show you anything. So I'm going to tell you first, and you hear that first, and that's what should put fear in your heart. Like, that should stop you right there, you know, and knows that continue, you know, then he's going to show you his wrath and what he can do and all that. that he's telling you first, and so you're going to hear it first. But you got to know what you're hearing. You need to also understand, like, he's going to tell you first, and then he's going to let you see it afterwards. But that's how I take that particular scripture as well.
Amen. Everybody's comments are valuable. Y'all on it this morning. Verse number 3, we're going to move on to verse number 3. Verse number 3 says, it is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. I believe that this scripture is saying that it says to one's honor. So when you think about honor, you think about respect, and you think about wisdom, and when you think about all these things, the wise man is going to avoid strife. He's going to avoid these things that can hinder him from getting to God. We must, as a whole body in Christ, we must be able to avoid the silly situations, the situations that come to kill us, the situations that could potentially take our lives. We must not indulge in those situations. We must always be wise and know that, okay, this not even worth my life. See, that's what it's all about. Is it worth your life? Because, see, nowadays when situations goes on, and especially with the younger generation, that it's not just about a fight anymore. You fight me, you whoop me, I'm going to go grab me a gun, and I'm going to kill you. It's the day and age we're living in. So it's to a man's honor to avoid strife. But, see, the fool, and see, the fool says there's no God. So the fool don't care about what, you know what I mean? He don't care about what's going on. The fool is living day to day, you know, with no guidance and no blueprint, no nothing. So the fool is going to be quick to get into some stuff. Because, see, the fool just don't know no better. And to be honest with you, the fool does not want to know any better. So when we look at the scripture, it is and to one's honor. I like that when it says it's to one's honor. This is to your benefit. This is to your benefit. This is so that you could live your life the fullness thereof. Avoid the strife. Sometimes we walk right into it. We already know how shorty is. We already know how they is. We already know how this, that, and the fourth person is. But we still deal with them. We still take the negative punishment. We still take the negative words. We still take the negative from that person. So in order for us to have the honor, we avoid strife. But every fool, yeah. See, a fool say, man, you ain't going to talk to me like that. You ain't going to, yeah, what? Uh-uh. See, that's what a fool going to say. A fool going to say, man, you stepped in my shoe. I got to do something about it. Okay, it was an accident. But the fool gonna keep going on. It's a lot of dead fools out here, and they're not really in the grave, but they're in the spiritual grave because they the fool says there's no God. Come on, man, y'all gotta tell me what y'all think about that.
Man, I agree with you. I think you spit some fire this morning, and you put things in a lot of perspective, and I think if we're honest, all of us can say we, at some point in time, we've been that fool. Because it's hard as a man to be disrespected. It's hard as a man to not feel like somebody's trying to punk you. It's hard as a man to take that low road and say, you know what, it's not about being right. Sometimes it's just better, like you were saying, for peace sake, to leave it alone and let it be. And I think that's the difference in the word of God said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I think, you know, and the word is speaking about spiritual maturity. So as we grow in God, the more mature we get in the Lord, the easier it becomes to take that road. But I think we all still got some fool in us. And every time we step out there and we do that, we, you know, that's just a constant reminder that we have still some more growing to do.
Amen. Come on, man. I need y'all to take a crack at this one. Just like Reverend Graham said, everybody played the fool, so everybody got something to say.
Yeah. I think that all the guys are right. I think, like you said, everybody plays the fool. And everybody's going to always keep a little bit of fool with them, because you always got to need to be a little bit of fool in you. But everybody talks about to be a man, to be a man. It's easy to argue with somebody. The hardest thing to do is to walk away. Like, everybody knows that. That's the hardest thing to do, to walk away. So what really makes you a man? Does it make you a man to do the smart thing? And that's what about being a man is, doing things smart, doing things logical, doing things in the right way. That's what God wants for everybody.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know everybody that had that time, you either it's at work or your boss, and they talking to you, and you just looking at them like, you know what, I ain't even going to argue with you today. And you just walk away. And that makes you feel so much better sometimes, as opposed to standing there arguing with somebody. You get everything worked up, and now you mad for the rest of the day over a silly argument. So you just to just end that whole argument and just walk away from it, and that makes you feel even better for the whole day. So we all, you know, experience it. But honor is a hard thing to do. If it was easy, everybody would do it. So I agree with all you guys, though. So just guys, you all got to work better at it to do it. Just be a little more smart as opposed to when it's good to be a fool and when it's good just to walk away from the whole situation.
Amen, amen. And that's a true testament of a man. Earlier, Reverend Grimes said it's hard when a man feel like somebody trying to punk him, somebody trying to overtalk him, somebody trying to big boy him. And what you just said, 0025, is that you got to walk away from it. That's the real testament of a man. Because see, as men, we don't like to be disrespected. We really don't like to be disrespected. We don't like nobody talking to us no type of way. But you said that being the real man is walking away from the situation. And I found out that when you walk away from the situation, the person that's still trying to argue looking stupid. So if we just walk away from the whole situation, but like y'all said, we had to play the fool at one point in time so we know what not to do next time. So it's important for us to, even in the times and the moments that we play the fool, we still be the wise man and grasp the concept. It didn't work this way, so let me not do that again.
Right.
Let's try it this way. Let's try it that way. Brother Anthony, what you think about that, man?
Well, what I think about it is that we as men should be wise and analyze certain situations, like everybody's been saying, and realize when it's not necessary and when it is. And like it says, only a fool insists on quarreling. So, like, that's fighting, right? So, basically, I'm sure that everybody knows that one person that always gets on your nerves, that want to push your buttons, that want to say something to you just to get you mad, just so they can see that.
Come on, son.
Just so they can get at you and say that, oh, he did that. Oh, I got a reaction out of him. You know, certain things just don't need to be said. And, you know, it says avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. So when you walk away from the situation, you're going to come out on top at the end, because at the end of the day, you didn't get in a fight. You didn't have to win or lose. So you chose to walk away from the situation, and you were cool. Got yourself together. You can set the situation differently. Sometimes everything doesn't need to be a fight. You don't have to fight for it. Sometimes just talk it out. Sometimes you just don't have to be, you know, all right, show your dominance. I got to punch him. Really? Sometimes you ain't got to do all that. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. So,
hey,
I mean, you know, sometimes you just got to learn the difference in certain situations and what is needed and what's not needed.
Hey, man. Y'all on it this morning, man. Y'all making me smile, man. Y'all on it this morning. This is a good conversation right here. All right, so let's move on to verse 4. Verse 4 says, sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. Sluggards, the people that just want to sit around and wait for all of these blessings just to fall in their lap with no work. The sluggards, it's telling us that they don't plow in the season. See, they don't do what they're supposed to do when it's time to do it. So when they go looking for the harvest, it's nothing there. See, when we take out our time and do what God says to do, then when it's time for the harvest, when we go looking for it, there was something to be. It would be something there. I've heard oftentimes say you reap what you sow. But you got to be reaping first. If you don't reap nothing, what you going to sow? Nothing. So oftentimes we just have to don't sit around and let life pass us, but we have to go get it. We have to get up and go seek God. We have to get up and get on his first word, 8 o'clock, early Sunday, to see what thus say the Lord. So we could take this and go out into the world and spread the gospel through all nations, because that's what our job is to do. So when we get up and we show God our faithfulness, when it's time for the harvest and we look around, There are things that have came around. The harvest is here, and when we go look, we're gonna find a whole lot. Because when we stay dedicated and we stay committed to our situation, we stay committed to God. That when the time comes when we need something, the harvest will be there. But the ones that just want to sit back and don't want to do nothing, but always got something to say, when it's time for them to go look for stuff, when it's time for them to go look for the harvest, there will be nothing there. And oftentimes they say, well, why ain't nothing here? Why ain't nothing here? Because, see, you got to put in the work too. See, everybody think that when you are saved and you give your life to Christ, that's it and that's all. No, that's not the truth. Because if it was that way, as soon as we gave God our lives, he'd take us up. But we have a work to do here. So when we put in this work, and we look around, just like the farmer. He goes out and he plants the seed. He grooms it. He does whatever he has. He puts water on it, make sure it has enough sunlight. So when it's time for the harvest and when it's time to come around, when he goes out into the field, he has the vegetables. But the people that did not groom, the people that did not make sure it had enough water and or sunlight, when they come out, they just going to see the dirt. What y'all think about that, man? Get y'all to chime in on this situation.
I mean, well, basically. Okay.
Go ahead, Jake.
Basically, you can't get something from nothing. You know, you want to reap the benefits, you got to put in the work. You know, seed time and harvest. You know, oftentimes we want certain things from God, but we're not willing to sow the seed. You know, we want love, we want somebody to love us, but we don't want to love nobody else. We want a financial blessing, but we don't want to give back to God a portion of that which he blessed us with. Ooh. We want peace in our life, but we turning over stuff in everybody's lives. So yeah. That what you want, you got to take the time and put the work in, sow that seed, so that in due time you can reap that same harvest.
But I was
just saying with you guys. I just want to say that, and you guys bring up blessings a lot, you know. I just like to say, and on behalf of like blessings and gifts, you know, people, like you said earlier, you know, it's hard work, you know, it's almost a job, you know. You know, being following the Bible and doing well by your other man. A lot of people sit back all the time and wonder why they don't have no blessings or where their blessings is at. The fact of the matter, if you think about it, most blessings come from another individual through God. So if I'm not out there teaching or giving blessings to other people, how do I expect to even get a blessing for myself? You know, so you got to go out there, you got to help your fellow man and help those and do your due diligence and put the seed out there and water it. And then once that harvest comes, you blessing other people, because not only you bless yourself, you can give some of that food to somebody else who may need that. And in return, you know, it's like a circle. So everybody blessing everybody that comes out, comes around. And I think that more people need to just, you know, stop being lazy. Get off the couch. You know, do hard work is good for the soul.
Amen. Brother Anthony.
All right. Well, what I'm reminded of is a man that don't work don't eat. So, at the end of the day, if you ain't putting in work, you're not eating. If you like 0225 said, you know, if you ain't going to work, you ain't got no place to live. You ain't got nowhere else to do. You sitting on the couch. You're not doing anything. You still probably in your mother's house or something. But I'm just saying. But, you know, it's like in order to reap, you do have to put in that work. And I feel like you said, you know, God has given us all the gifts that, you know, that we have. And then when we use that gift, and we start using it and stop sleeping on it, then, you know, everybody else will benefit from it. You start blessing other people, and then your blessings will overflow, and then you'll also be able to help others. But like it says about the harvest, you got to learn when to do it at a certain time. And if you miss that time, then you're the fool, and after you won't go out there, and after you're not going to have anything for the harvest, and you got to go ask somebody else. So it's wise to know when to go out, and that should be like all the time, because if you're not putting in work every day, if you're not tilling the ground, if you're not, you know, picking the weeds up, you know, looking at your crops and stuff, then at the end of the season, your crops could have been there, but they died. But you're not putting in the work. So I feel like we all have to work towards our goals, which is helping everybody else and seeking God first.
Amen, amen. Man, it looked like when it came to the end of the show, this was some fire this morning. You hear me? This was some fire. Any last words from any other men on the line?
Yeah, man, I'd just like to say, you know, truly this conversation has been insightful and it's been encouraging, but it's been a reminder, you know, of self and to look at self and a reminder of the areas as a man. And they say iron sharpens iron, so I thank God for this conversation because it brought my attention to some areas where I can improve myself, where I can work, you know, and put some more work in.
Mm. Anybody else? 0025, last words.
I'd just like to say thank you to all the men that was on the line. Thank you for including me in today's topic. I really enjoyed it. And I definitely learned something, and that's always good to keep learning. So thank you, guys, for teaching me something new today.
Brother Anthony.
I'm good. It's very, very good to hear good. All the men on the line this morning. Very exciting to hear from other men on his first word today. It was great.
Yeah. It's truly a blessing. So if all hearts and minds are clear, we're going to look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Father God, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for the insight that we all got of it. Thank you, Father God, for every man that's on the line contributing every Sunday. We want to say thank you, Father God, for Pastor and First Lady. Father God, we ask you to lift them up, Father God. We ask them, Father God, to build them up, Father God, glory to you. Father God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you be with us in our services, wherever that we go, Father God, throughout the day. Father God, grant us traveling mercies, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, y'all, this is it. Until next week, this is Minister Jamal from the Heart of God. Yes, sir. We out of here.
All right, we out.